Well, we're going to continue today in the book of John, where we have been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse together as a body. And if you guys remember, so we're going to be in John 14 this morning. And if we remember a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Scott was here and the message that he brought for us, let not your heart be troubled. And man, I don't know about for you guys, but it was just such a word from the Lord to my heart, just thinking about where I am in life right now with how things look and how things pan out. The Lord just says to me, JJ, let not your heart be troubled, for we know that he is in control. And today I really feel is a continuation of that, as it probably should be, since it's the next part of Scripture. And so we're going to be in John 14, the second part of the chapter. And we're going to be in chapters 15 and onward from there to around about 27 or so. So in the tradition of Calvary Chapel Northwest, why don't we stand together and let's read the word. And Jesus speaking to his disciples here, he says in chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world sees me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am the Father, that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for your word for us this morning. We thank you for the promise, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us right now, that you would teach us the things of God, the deep things of God that you know. Please impart them to us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. So, Tom, we had lunch. It was probably around about a month or month and a half ago or something like that. And has his brain is always stirring for what the Lord is doing and how the Spirit is moving. We talked about what it might look like to have, you know, the young adult study serve on a Sunday morning and with worship. And in the back, maybe there were some new faces that greeted you this morning. And, I'm with ushering and helping in the back. And it's a blessing. But we were talking about it. And he asked where we were in the Bible for our Friday night Bible study as a young adult study. And we just started the book of Acts. And so the fact that we're speaking on the Holy Spirit this morning is not a coincidence. This is God orchestrating as he does so well. The same way that when Pastor Scott was here 2 weeks ago, do you remember where he said they were? They were in Acts. He bragged a little and talked about how they were kind of moving along a little quicker or whatever. So they're right in the same spot. And as we on Friday nights were in Acts, and Adam and I were just, you know, talking and we've kind of just put the brakes on just for a second because we want to have a very clear understanding of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. The Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? how does the Holy Spirit work in the life of a believer, in the life of an unbeliever? What is it that the Holy Spirit does, and how are we used by the Holy Spirit? So when I read this, you know, so we did that a couple weeks ago, and the scripture that I used for Acts 1 was right here in John 14. So when I open this up and see that it's the next part of, you know, where we're at as a body, I just laughed. And then I really prayed because I'm like, this is kind of above my pay grade, Lord. But God has just been amazing and in studying, and I'm excited for what he has. So let's get started. Verse 15, I really wanted to kind of skip to verse 16 and start, but we go through verse by verse. So who is me to skip a verse because it didn't seem to fit in with where I thought the Lord was going, but it fits in so well. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. So I was just thinking, if you love me, keep my commandments. That, to me, at first read, seemed a little odd that the Lord, Jesus, with his disciples, remember, they're hanging out together. We're like in the last hours, 24-ish hours before he goes. He just told Peter that he was going to deny him, and Peter said, you know, we all know Peter. Awesome. I love him. Man after my own heart. He's like, Lord, that's not me. I'll die with you. And he says that he would deny him. He tells him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes to prepare a place for them. And then he stops here and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're actually going to see that in our text this morning, three separate times in verses 15, 21, and 23. Jesus says, keep my commandments, or he who has my commandments. He who loves me, verse 23, he who loves me, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So what are Jesus' commandments? Well, you could search the scriptures and find many things that the Lord tells us. But in John 13, just a chapter back, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we're in the same conversation, and he brings it, a new commandment. So if you love me, so Lord, are you telling us that if we love you, we will love one another? That's exactly what he's telling us. In chapter 15, verses 12, and 17 also say the same thing. This is my commandment, verse 12 of chapter 15, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. The Lord has it set up that if he wants us to experience the things he has for us, we're a family. We're in this together. I love it. This morning, it's family, passing out the elements, coming up, leading the elements. I heard a great story, by the way, of Austin, and I didn't know if I was going to share this, but so his dad, so I'm talking to Todd, he's up here years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but he's up here on a Wednesday night sharing, teaching, and right as I think about it, as he's finishing, it's a very, you know, it's a good Holy Spirit, serious moment. It was before the wall was here, so it was before our family had moved to Bellingham, but out pops this little kid from behind the sound booth. And then pops back in. His dad up here is like, how do you? Of course, he laughs at the moment. So just to see the family growing up, I mean, that's a long way. We're years from them. And then the only other time that I guess he was up here on the stage was when you were the rear end of a camel in the play. That's the family. We're growing up. If you love me, keep my commandments, that you would love one another. We're proud of you guys. Thank you guys for this morning. It's awesome. So Jesus continues in 16 and he says, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. So right here, verse 16, we see all three persons of the Godhead. Jesus speaking says, I will pray the Father and he will send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. We see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all spoken of on equality. Now, the thing that really is on my heart this morning, because I'm a very simple guy, kind of like some of these fishermen in here, to keep it simple, Jesus is with them. Jesus is fully man. Jesus is fully God. The book of John was written that we might know that Jesus is God. Jesus sitting with his disciples tells them, and if Jesus were to make himself equal with God, is saying he is God. I am the way. So on and so forth. And so when he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. So the word another here doesn't mean we're not trading down for Jesus. So Jesus is, because remember, he's telling them that he's leaving. They're troubled. That's why he's telling them not to be troubled. So when Jesus says, the Father will send you another helper. This isn't like a trade down. It's not like, you know, when you're trading like baseball cards as a kid and you have like this sweet rookie card that's in like the hard plastic. Some kid pulls his out of his bike tire. You know, they're both baseball cards, but they're not even on the same level, right? So Jesus is saying another helper. This word another in the Greek means equal, of the same kind. And the word helper here means one who would come alongside to help, or an advocate. In 1 John 2:1, we read, and it says that Jesus is our advocate. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that Jesus is our advocate. So here we see another helper, another equal, or of the same kind, that would abide with us forever. So Jesus, his time on this earth, was physically walked on this earth, was for a period of time. He came, knew that the cross was where he was going. 3 years, about, was where he walked. So this is coming to the end of that time. Now, think about where the disciples must have been. I've listened to a bunch of sermons on this and heard some great illustrations. But, you know, Jesus was great to have around. I mean, there's 15,000 people, Lord. We got 2 fish. Jesus is like, bring me your 2 fish. These people, you know, let's feed these people. There's a storm. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. He was a handy one to have around, I heard it put. So true. He just took care of it. He took it to Jesus, and he would handle it. Now he's leaving, and they're not knowing what to do. And he says, I will give you another helper who will abide with you forever. Not for a time, but forever. It's hard for us to put our mind on the word forever, because the best thing that I have found in my life that forever means that I can put in human terms is I tell my wife, I'll love you forever. That's the best I can offer, is I can love Stephanie or my children forever. But that forever here on this earth is a certain amount of time. So for us to wrap our brain around, so Lord, you're going to love us for like a bazillion years. Well, a bazillion years, if that's even really a number, has an end. It has a time where it runs out. But forever, eternity, the Lord, the Holy Spirit would abide with us forever. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 17 says that the Spirit of truth, so we have a name, our helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Some pretty tough words at first read, I think, coming from Jesus. Not so much to his disciples, but I was just in study and preparation. I was like, what if? So if you're here this morning and you don't have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd like to speak with you for just a minute. You don't have to stand up or anything, don't worry. But see, when I read this here, he tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled or be afraid. I will send the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to the church, to someone who has accepted what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. We'll see in a minute, Jesus says, because I live, you will also live. So it's because of what Jesus accomplished that we can receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't something that can be bought, traded for, earned, same way with our salvation. It is a gift that we must accept from the Lord. So I remember when I became a believer and asked Jesus to take over my life, there were certain things I was like, I don't get it. We were talking about like the Holy Spirit and different things. Just want to be very clear that is the gift of salvation is in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. He was the sin substitute for you, that you may have that relationship with the Father, and in turn, He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, in 1 Corinthians, let's flip over there, if you guys would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verses 10 through 14, I just want to read something to you guys. It says in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, or chapter 2, excuse me, verse 10, but God has revealed to them, God has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. What has He revealed up in the verses above? We will see the things of God. Verse 9 says, the things of God has prepared, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So we know the things of God. But God has revealed them to us through His Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man? Hold on one sec. Let's see. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Catch this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you ever, I love to snowboard. And this past winter, I got to spend quite a bit of time. It was like the first winter that we were here last winter. But this year, I really got to get out into the backcountry a little bit and experience the Mount Baker area and the Cascades, and we are so stoked in this state. The mountains are amazing. But I remember I would be standing out on a ridge somewhere on some sunny day, just looking at what I was getting ready to snowboard. But you feel like you're on top of this mountain, like you're this big thing. But once you get to the top and you look around, you're like just this speck. And so then I look even bigger and I'm like, That's just this little mountain range. And then you go bigger and then bigger. And I just imagine like Google Maps, you know, when you look, hey, you can zoom in on your house. But when you keep going back, you're like, it's gigantic. So I'm standing up on this mountain. And the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm like, God, you did such a good job up here. This is awesome. And then I look at the next one and I'm like, oh, look at right over there. We could go over there. And then you look at the next one. The first thing that comes to my mind is, this was created. Like, what an artist. How amazing of a job did he do? I remember when I just look at my boys, you know, and I'm just like, it is a miracle. I don't know how someone could see their child for the first time and be like, that's, you know, take the beauty aside. Just like, that's a miracle. That, wow, that's insane. That you were like created out of nothing and here you are. But the Bible's clear that people can't understand. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In the snowboard industry, of which I had been a part for several years, you know, people knew, oh, JJ, you know, he's like one of those Christian snowboarders or whatever. So, you know, they enjoyed, you know, razzing me and different things like that. But at the end of the day, They think I'm a fool. A lot of people. Do you know that? People think we're foolish. I was listening to Pastor Chuck talk about, and the term that he used was, what did he say? I can't remember what it was, but it was a term that we're the minority to believe that God's word is. That's it. We live our lives by it. We base our lives by it. We base our ministry on it. If there wasn't this, none of it would matter. It wouldn't mean anything to me without what the Lord has said, what he says, how he leads. But we're the minority in that. A lot of people don't understand why it is we say what we say, do what we do. But to us, it is the power of God. We understand. See, it is, these things are spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit of God, you can't understand them, because it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that understands the things of God. The natural man cannot understand in his own thinking. It is the Spirit that reveals those things to us. So if you're here this morning and you don't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, I could imagine that certain things are hard to understand. But don't worry. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't have any place for you or want to have anything to do with you. As a matter of fact, it is the exact opposite of that. The Holy Spirit is very much at work in your life if you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus this morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, at the very beginning of the chapter is, you see, the day of Pentecost. So the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the place where the disciples were. And we know that about that day, 3,000 people got saved. But what happened was, Peter, seeing what's going on, people are from all over the place in Jerusalem at the time. And they see that the disciples are speaking in their own language, and they're trying to draw conclusions as to what's going on. You know, someone says that they're drunk. Those guys are drunk. They're like, they're acting really weird. How is he speaking my language? Peter stands up, and you see throughout Acts, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, college crew, get ready. We're going to see the work of the Holy Spirit in a great way over the next coming weeks and months. But what I wanted to look at, so Peter stands up, verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, and he starts speaking. And you can read from, it's all of chapter 2, to about 36. This is like the first, I guess, you know, sermon preached. I mean, Jesus spoke many, many times. But for Peter to stand up in a response to the crowd filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I would like to look at is at the end. It says, in verse 37, now when they, so the people who had gathered around, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's a great question. And that is a great response. See, again, forward in Acts in 8, maybe 7. Yeah, 7. We're going to read about Stephen and where he rebukes and say, you guys have always resisted the Holy Spirit, just as your fathers did. You guys have always resisted the Holy Spirit. There was a response where someone could have said, well, what must we do when the Holy Spirit was moving in their life? See, the Holy Spirit, if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus and don't believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you. He does not live, dwell in you, but he is with you, pointing you to the work that Jesus accomplished. So in Acts, you see that they say to Peter in verse 37, what shall we do? And in verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, first, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, and listen close, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. I use the word family a lot. It just makes me feel like I can catch a grasp of what's going on. There's a lot of things going on in my family personally. Not with, you know, Steph and the boys, but with my mom, dad. Just drama. I mean, it's life. And my parents don't know the Lord, either one of them. And but he knows them. You know what I mean? My hope and my prayer is that they would hear God's word and they would be cut to the heart. And they would say, what must I do? And there would be someone there to say, repent, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, it's tough. I send my mom sermons and she'll get this one. And that's what it's about, you know. It's tough. Is the Spirit at work? Is the Spirit pointing to you? Is the Spirit convicting you? I always think about Tom, and I can't remember the guy's name that you were talking about, but another pastor whom I think is in heaven now, but you were talking about when things were just kind of offbeat, he would say, have you been repenting lately, brother? That's the Lord brought that question to me recently. JJ, have you been repenting lately? See, we hear the word repent and we're like, ooh, I was good to go until you started telling me that I got to like get down on my knees and talk about how much of a failure I am. That's like the like what we feel, right? We're like, what am I like supposed to do it like in front of everyone to make it, you know, more heartfelt? No. I mean, if you want to, you can. We're here. We'll pray with you. We're family. Whether you know it or not, we're all children of God. But our desire is that you would have the gift of the Holy Spirit and be able to understand the things of God. You ever notice how, and we were all there, weren't we? Some of us when we were younger, some of us when we were older, but we've all, it's like how we were all born. We were all born again into this family where we'll spend eternity in communion with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. We've all been there. I look at kids who want to be good at snowboarding straight away. They want to be amazing. And I'm like, you got to crawl before you can walk, man. We've all been there. They're like, yeah, but these guys can do this and they can do that. And I'm like, yeah, but they learn too. I'm there right now. I started, you know, mountain biking a few years ago and I watched some guys ride and I'm like, oh, they are really good. I'd like to be that good. But they had to learn as well. See, no, we're not like in this like, oh man, he knows a ton. You know, I'm not as good as him. We're not in a comparing sort of way. We've all been there. We're family. We bring each other together. So there's the answer. If you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning and you don't understand the things of God, it's because you haven't come to the place where you give your life to Jesus and say, it's your way. It's not my way. I want to know you. That's what I did. I remember when I asked God, it was in actually a pretty challenging way. And God had just been in working. It's so clear when we look back, isn't it? Where God was at work and things that have happened. When you're in it, you can't see it. When it's in front of you, forget about it. But when it's behind, you're like, wow, God was totally working there. And I remember laying on my bed and just being like, God, if you're so real, prove it. I'm just, all this stuff is just coming at me and I feel like you're working. It seems like you're real. It seems like you care. Would you just show me? That's just my prayer, that you personally would do that. We good? So the Holy Spirit is working in the life of an unbeliever. The Spirit walks with you. But know that God is calling you. The Holy Spirit is pointing you to Jesus and leading you to repentance. Why do you think the things that have been happening are happening? Why are you here this morning? The invitation, people you meet, the conversations you've had. The Holy Spirit is at work. To those who believe in Jesus, born again believers in Jesus Christ, the Spirit dwells in you. So Jesus is speaking to the disciples here, and he's speaking on the things coming, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them and not be with them, but dwell in them. So know this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've made the commitment to the Lord. Holy Spirit lives in you. Wow, that's heavy. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Thank you, Lord. How reassuring must that have been for the disciples at the moment, for him to just look into their eyes and just say, hey, I'm not going to leave you guys. I'm going to come. I'm going to come to you. This could have a couple of meanings. It could mean that after his death, burial, resurrection, he was only seen by believers for those 40 days ministering the things of God. Yes, it means that. And it could also mean that when the Holy Spirit came and he would come to them, not leave them orphans. It could mean both of those things. But Jesus says, I won't leave you. I don't know how many people in here. I never met my real dad. And so in a sense, I mean, I was adopted by my dad when I was young. But in a sense, orphaned and a parent given up, being like, I'll give up my rights as a parent, you know. And I don't know all the circumstances behind it, and that's okay. But for Jesus, I just feel like there's just, people feel alone. The overwhelming sense of depression, people feeling like there's nobody. I was talking to someone recently, and I could just hear them. They're like, nobody cares about me. And as I'm on the phone, you know, I'm just like, oh, people so care about you. If you would just know. And I just had to say, Jesus loves you. I don't know how they received it. I just pray that they received it and would just feel that God does love him. And he has a promise that he will not orphan us. He will dwell with us forever and ever and ever. It's such a good promise. If you're on the fence this morning, get off of that fence and just know that it's not going to get easier, but you will have a peace, right? You won't be alone. Let's move on to verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. So we touched on this earlier, but after Jesus went to the cross and was raised himself from the dead, he showed himself only to believers until the day he ascended into heaven. Back to, they neither see him nor know him, but we see him and know him and he dwells with us. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. How reassuring. Man, because of what he did, we can live. We can live with him. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will know that you are in God and he is in you, verse 20 will tell us. And the day that you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you, at that day you will know. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you tell God, I can't do it, I want you, you will know that you are sealed. Jesus says, I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Love it. 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, he's stoked. He's like, please throw that in there. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come in and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. What type of person is it that God wants to manifest? The word manifest here means to reveal or to show himself to. It's a submissive and loving heart that Jesus wants. He who keeps my commands, he is he who loves me. Someone who would deny themselves for what Jesus would want is a submissive heart. Someone who would love others as they love themselves is a loving heart. That's the person he would reveal themselves to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And get this, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me." Underline that. "When you search for me with all your heart." And in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," the Lord speaking. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." That's the heart that the Lord wants. He says it three times. "He who has my commandments is he who loves me." Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord this morning? He loves you. He wants to show himself to you. So I just have to throw that out there. If you're this morning and you say, "I love the Lord, but I'm just not experiencing God. What's going on? He feels far away. Doesn't feel like things are happening, like maybe the way they should be." He's knocking. Are we submitting to him? Are we denying ourselves? Pray to the Spirit. Ask that the Spirit would fill you up and would lead you and guide you. But when you do, I promise you, he will. He wants to work. "How will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" "I will manifest myself to those who love me and keep my word." Verse 23, "My Father will love him and we will make our home with him." But Lord, I'm not like this mansion. I've seen those guys, those football players and stuff. They're all big and like fast. That's probably the type of house you want, right? Or like someone who's really good at what they do. I don't know if you want this. This thing's kind of been beat up. It's not that good. Remember God said, "Let us make man in our image." God made you the way you are. He loves you the way you are. He's given you giftings and talents and abilities that you may not even know of. But he wants to show you. He wants to lead you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Back in Acts, Peter says, let me just read it so I don't mess it up. But Peter says to those people when they say, "What shall we do?" He tells them to repent in verse 39. "For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." This morning, are you a believer? Yes, you were called. God has called you to be who you are. So as many as the Lord call, he's calling everybody. He calls the whole world. But, you know, and it just hit me so hard just listening to what Tom had to say last week. It was like, yeah, I got the Spirit. I'm cool. I asked God, forgive me for my sins. And he did. Like, you know, now I'm going to go home. Like, you know, what's today, Sunday? Watch some golf or whatever. I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. If you're going to go watch some golf, that's cool. But it's who are we submitting to? What are we submitted to? Are we submitted to the flesh, to the things that we have to do, we need to do, we want to do? In the past, this has been the busiest week. I won't say of my life, because then you'd be like, yeah. But it's been busy. Everyone's like, it wasn't busier than my week. I hear it all the time. I wish there were more hours in the day. Guess what? For now, until God decides, if he decides to do it again, he did it once, made the days longer. But we all get the same hours. There's 24 of them, all right? It's how you spend your 24 that what's important. At the end of the day, I've been doing it lately. I just kind of like, what was important to me today? So just know that it is for you. You are called. Look back at your life. Verses 25 and 26. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." Austin, I was thinking about communion. You were like, man, they probably didn't know what he was talking about. And you're right. who was it? Why we do communion now, right? It was the Holy Spirit who laid it on man. Remember? He said he will call, bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said to them. It's the Holy Spirit leading. So now we're submitted to the Holy Spirit. We have communion together. And we do it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. He will teach you all things. Look back at your life. Where was the Spirit leading, comforting, convicting? That word convicting, that's like the word that no one likes to talk about. But that's where the yardage is made. That's where ground is covered, is when we come to the point and the Holy Spirit leads to a point of conviction. I need to give something up. I need forgiveness in this area. Don't let that moment pass. It's like, oh, that hurts. What are people going to think? Who cares? We're family, all right? You can't go forward if you're going backwards. You ever feel like that sometime? You're like, get a couple steps forward and you gain momentum, and then a couple steps back. You're like, oh, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back. We can't gain ground on our own. We have to be led by the Spirit. He will teach us. He will know. He will show us all things. When you read His Word or hear something that cuts you to the heart, what do? Bring it to the Spirit. Bring it to the foot of the cross, because you've been forgiven for that. And you need help. You need the Spirit of God to help you in your walk. You can't do it alone. But I don't really know if I've been like led by the Spirit. I don't really feel. You ever quoted scripture that you didn't even know you knew? That's the best one. That's like the God just being like, come on now, I got you. You know, something coming up and you're just like, man, I think it's in, you know, we use Acts now. We've read it like 10 times this morning. But it just, where Peter was just, you know, where people said, what do I do? Oh, you know, Peter said, repent, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, I didn't even know I knew that. It happens. It's the Holy Spirit working, the Holy Spirit leading, and the Holy Spirit teaching. Verse 27, and we'll end with this. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the book of Philippians, which is a couple books to the right, a few books to the right, verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, and the peace of God. So let's describe this peace. What do you mean peace that you give us, Lord? Like, ah, peace. And we're talking the peace of God. In verse 7 of chapter 4, Philippians says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that you can't even understand. You ever been in a storm? I'm not talking like, you know, the little squalls at home where you have a kid who won't go to bed and the other one's running around the house and your wife's like, I've had about enough for today. I'm talking like what is going on in my life right now type of storm, but something, for some reason, you just are like, God's in control. I don't understand why I'm not flipping out right now. It's because God will give us a peace that surpasses, that we can't even understand, that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, 28 verses 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus speaking, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, I'm a Christian. My life seems kind of hard. What does that mean? Do you have rest for your soul? I'm tired at the end of the day, too. I lay down. I was reading. I can't remember who it was, but he would lay down at the end of the night and he'd be like, dear God, I'm tired. Amen. And I was like, I'm with you, dude, sometimes. But we have a rest for our souls. Do you have a rest for your soul this morning? Learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, Jesus would say. And I came across something and I was going to, I'm like, you know what? I'll just read it. I can't word it any better than this. It was really cool. It says, and so, to a frightened bunch of troubled disciples, Jesus is saying, look, my peace I give to you. That kind of peace that he had when the boat was sinking and he was sleeping. The kind of peace that comes through perfect confidence that the Father is in control of everything that surrounds my life. God is in control. The peace, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The helper, comforter, is for you. Do you know him? Don't leave here today without knowing for sure. Amen. So what we'll do is we'll have you guys come on back up. And we're going to take the next few minutes. It's just a time of response. I'm going to pray here in just a sec. And then we're going to have a couple of worship songs, a little bit more of an extended period here at the end. And we're going to be available up at the front. Pastor Tom will be up here and some others. Austin will be up here. And Todd and Heidi. And we'll just have a few up here. Jim, if you need prayer, I'll say it again, our family. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. If you need to repent, today is the day. The Bible says, if you've never accepted Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. If you're going to wait until you think you got it together, you're going to be waiting for a long time because nobody has it together. But we'll be up here. We want to pray with you guys. And all right? All right, we love you guys. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise of a helper that will guide us and teach us, Lord God. That will bring to remembrance all of the things that you have said. You are the word, Lord God. Your word is alive and active. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us and that you would guide us and that we would know for sure that we have been sealed and set apart and that you dwell within us, Lord God. And I just want to, real quick, if you this morning are at a place where maybe your knees are shaking a little bit and you're nervous and you feel like the Lord is just speaking to you, He is. And I would like to just pray. Maybe if this is your heart, you would just say this prayer with me. Lord God, I feel alone. And I'm scared, Lord. And I don't understand the things that are going on in my life. But I want peace. I need peace. I accept your peace, Lord God. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe, Lord, in my heart, that you are that Savior. I want to live for you. Please come into my life and live with me, Lord God, and guide me and help me. In Jesus' name, amen.